Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody, to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe here with you this weekend. Thank you for tuning in. It's not like it's a holiday unlike it was 2 weeks ago, so really, what's your excuse for not tuning in? Anyway, the Silk or Joe Show is a Main Street Radio Network production, so we want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for allowing this program to exist. Some of their clients are a little disappointed in them, and management sometimes butts heads with us over content, but in the end, they let us win out most of the time, and we come here uncensored to you. And we want to thank them again for standing tall on that ground. And we also want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing this show. Main Street Radio Network can be found at mainstreetradionetwork.com. They can also be found on Facebook under Main Street Radio Network, Twitter under Main Street Radio. And you can also find the Silk or Joe Show on social media on Getter, GETTR.com at Silk or Joe Show. But while you're out there, don't forget to check out the Alan Nathan Show, AlanNathan.com. It's also on MainStreetRadioNetwork.com, and it's on Twitter at Alan Nathan. All right, social media pitches are out of the way real quick. So now we are going right to our first guest, Kennerly Davis. He is conservative commentator, former deputy attorney general for the Commonwealth of Virginia, and author of Revolution, a call to turn back the lawless left and restore the promise of America. Ken Davis, happy to have you. How are you today?
Well, delighted to be with you.
All right, we're delighted to have you as always. So right now, the Biden's EPA, they're talking about banning gas stoves now. Of course, they walked back the assertion. However, it doesn't really matter what they say, because usually if they walk back an assertion like this after bad press, that means they're probably going to go forward it at a future date. And they're saying the gas stoves are polluting, but I seem to recall, in fact, I was doing some research before the show, a lot of people were saying that they were the most environmentally friendly of the stoves.
Well, they are, and you're quite right to point out the kind of tactical maneuvering that the Biden administration went through in this case, and the left does generally. They'll put some extreme radical proposal on the table, and if there's immediate blowback to a certain extent, they'll walk it back, like the president in this case, two or three days after the Product Safety Commission announced the proceeding on the dangers of gas stoves. The White House walked it back. He said he doesn't support a ban for now, but the left has a history of doing this kind of thing, increase the size of the Supreme Court, abolish the filibuster, pushing on gender fluidity and operations performed on minors, et cetera, and they see what they can get away with, and in the short term, if they sense there's just too much pushback, they will, as a tactical matter, rein it in a little. But they will be back, because this is part of the gas stove attack, is part of their broader continuing destructive war on the production and use of efficient, safe, and proven fossil fuels, really a war on things that work. I mean, gas stoves have been in use, widespread use, since the first part of the 20th century. They are, as anybody who has one knows, they're highly efficient. You can adjust the temperature instantaneously, up or down. That's why gas appliances are universally used in restaurants. For example, in commercial settings, it's proven technology. It's safe technology. This is just part of their overall decarbonization push. Which, and this is the ironic thing, if it was brought to the end goal that they say they seek, where natural gas, for example, is phased out and replaced by electricity supplied by wind turbines and solar panels. If that utopia could be achieved, it wouldn't in the United States, it wouldn't make any difference on the worldwide basis because of the continuing quite sensible expansion by China, India, Brazil, and other countries, the continuing expansion of the use of natural gas and coal and oil. No, it's it makes no sense at all. In fact, if gas stoves were banned in this country, it would actually lead to an increase in the production and use of natural gas. And why is that? Well, 40% of the electricity in this country is produced by power plants that are fueled by natural gas. And so you would have to run more of those to supply the electricity to run the stoves. And once you use the gas or burn the gas in the power plant and ship the electricity to the home or the restaurant for its use in an electric appliance, which uses a lot of electricity to heat up the oven or the stovetop, then you're actually using more gas because of the electricity you had to produce than if you just sent the gas directly.
Wow. It does not look like they were thinking this through too much. It's like they just hear gas stove. Oh, let's just start our latest war against carbon emissions by going after gas stoves. Let's not worry about the alternatives. But then again, that's been their pattern this whole time, because what's their idea for how do they want to replace fossil fuel-based electricity, wind and solar? But those are not at all efficient enough to be suitable replacements.
No, they're not. In fact, you hear a lot from the Biden administration and the left in general about transitioning to an electric system that is clean or just uses clean production sources by 2035, or we get to net zero carbon emissions for the electric system by 2050. Just in the last couple of weeks, there's a serious, extensive, technically sound report issued by the Electric Power Research Institute, EPRI, which is a decades-established electric industry think tank. And they looked at the net zero goal and all the assumptions that it included and the things that would have to happen. And they concluded that the technology doesn't exist to meet the goal of 2035 or 2050. It just doesn't exist. So when you hear these references by elected officials and commentators on the left and so forth, I think we have to consider or understand that they are what, and we see a lot of this all across the political landscape. It's performative. They are saying things, issuing sound bites that will, in the short run, get them donations, get them some favorable press from the constituents that support them. But they're not saying anything that is that suggests any kind of serious thought behind it. And I guess the good news is that these goals like net zero carbon emissions by 2050, they won't happen because they can't happen because the technology doesn't exist, and there's no prospect that it will exist over the time frame that they're talking about. And so I guess that's the good news. The bad news is that in doing things like trying to ban gas stoves and mandate that the the deployment of electric cars. They will, in thrashing about and trying to get this unachievable overall goal, they'll implement a lot of particular policies that are very damaging and don't even help meet the goal they say they want to meet. But it creates a lot of cost and a lot of economic waste in the meantime. It's all too bad, but at least they've walked this back for now.
Harrowing words there, for now, and we'll have to see where this goes from here. They might just do it in secret, much like, I guess, the state of Virginia did with its plan to follow California's EPA environmental regulations, back where the Democrat legislative branch in the state of Virginia passed a law that says we just follow California's environmental regulations. Hardly anyone knew about it until finally Glenn Youngkin took office and we had to follow him. Folks, more Silver Joe Show after this break.
We all tend to indulge during the holidays. Research finds that come January, bad cholesterol levels may spike by up to 20%. Nicole Safone, nurse practitioner and clinical lipid specialist with Arizona Lipid Center, shares what you need to know to help manage your bad cholesterol.
This time of year can present a challenge to your health, with holiday gatherings, travel, and celebrations all being reasons to be lenient with your diet and exercise routine. This may contribute to a spike in your cholesterol. High levels of LDL-C, or bad cholesterol, can cause plaque buildup in the arteries, which can lead to cardiovascular events such as heart attacks or strokes. It's important to discuss cholesterol management with your healthcare professional, especially if you're one of the 16 million Americans who, despite taking statin medication, continues to have high levels of bad cholesterol.
Vibrant Arizona resident Donna struggled with her cholesterol for 40 plus years.
Despite a balanced diet and taking medication, I couldn't find a treatment that worked for me. My healthcare provider recommended Leqvio, and now my cholesterol levels are normal for the first time in 40 years. Not worrying about my cholesterol has increased my zest for life, allowing me to travel, visit family, enjoy quality time with friends, and volunteer in my community this holiday season.
I used Leqvio and glycerin in my practice for my patients with known heart disease on statins who need additional help lowering their bad cholesterol. Leqvio, given by a healthcare professional just twice a year after two initial injections, was shown to lower it by over 50% and keep it low during each six-month dosing interval.
Visit Leqvio.com to learn more. Sponsored by Novartis Pharmaceuticals Corporation, Leqvio is a prescription injection used along with diet and a statin in adults who need additional lowering of bad cholesterol, also known as LDL-C, and have known cardiovascular disease. It is not known if Leqvio can decrease problems related to high cholesterol, such as heart attacks or stroke. Common side effects were injection site reaction, joint pain, urinary tract infection, diarrhea, chest cold, pain in legs or arms, and shortness of breath.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about one in four car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. Four, maybe five more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to man, mano a mano.
Hey, Steve! It's now a good time?
No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
How that could possibly happen? How anyone could be that irresponsible? And I thought, what data was in there that may compromise sources and methods? By that, I mean names of people who helped or et cetera. And it's just totally irresponsible.
All right. Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. That was Joe Biden condemning President Trump for having classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. Thing is, though, President Trump, as president, had the authority to say, okay, these aren't classified anymore, ship them off to Mar-a-Lago. Joe Biden, on the other hand, while he is getting on his high horse there, being sanctimonious like that, he actually has had classified documents, as far as we can tell, scattered to the winds. There was some found at his think tank in Washington that the Chinese government paid a lot of money for. That is the think tank, not the documents, though it could, maybe they paid some money for those documents too. But also some have been found in Biden's garage in Delaware at his house. I can tell you that one of the first places people break into is the garage. But that aside, Trump at least had all of his stuff in one location and had the authority to have those documents on hand. Whereas Biden, as vice president, does not have the authority to have all these classified documents laying around hither and yon. And also just this item from Fox News here, where it says in their article on this, the White House counsel's office searched Biden's two residences this week after revelations about the stuff that was found in November, where it came to light this week. But Biden said his attorneys and the like have been cooperating. He's been very transparent about all this. So why is the White House counsel's office searching now when Biden's documents were found back in November, and the ones at his think tank? Well, joining us now to talk about all this, we have former State Senator Ted Harvey. He is chairman of the Committee to Defeat the President at StopJoe.com, frequent guest on this show and the Alan Nathan Show. Senator Harvey, happy to have you. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me on. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you as well. What do you make of this?
Well, I'm just wondering where the FBI is and why they are not raiding in a SWAT-like manner every single one of the president's residents and scaring the heck out of the people that are living there and going through the underwear drawers of every one of the people that have been in these homes. They did that at Mar-a-Lago, and the press thought that that was perfectly fine. I wonder if they would think that was perfectly fine if the FBI did that to the seated president right now.
Well, the excuse they're using is that Trump was not complying with the subpoena, but here with Joe Biden, these documents just keep popping up. So it's like the FBI would have even more of a right to be going for him, because unlike with Trump, they don't know if Joe Biden has more or not.
Well, not only that, but Trump had been working with the FBI. The FBI knew where those documents were. They were in a very, very secure, under lock and key, safe in the residence in Mar-a-Lago. In this situation, they were just sitting around in a garage at his home with his Corvette in there. And I'm sure you've seen the video all over the internet where the president is showing off his Corvette, and there's a bunch of boxes and documents sitting in the garage in a very insecure, locked area. And the like you said, the sanctimonious comments that Trump was being completely irresponsible. There's nothing more irresponsible than the fact that the vice president had these documents just sitting around in his garage for the entire 4 years of the Trump administration. Who knows who had been going through that garage during those 4 years?
Right. And just on top of that, what's his claim going to be this time? He didn't know that they were there. That's what he said about the think tank. But how does he not know that they're there if they're in his garage? But for that matter, how does he know they're not there at the think tank? Because those are his documents. Did someone steal them and stick them into his place? Like, he would have had to have some role in getting them there.
I'm really curious of why this is coming out now. I'm curious about how the White House counsel decided, I'm just going to go start searching all of the residences and looking at the garage. it's curious that suddenly this is going on right now, and they found these documents right before the last election. Is it because they knew that the Republicans in Congress might start doing some investigations into the behavior of the Biden family and the Hunter Biden laptop and what might be in the, you know, classified documents that were not returned to the White House or to the archives? I think it's interesting, the timing of all of this.
Right. It could entirely be possible that the FBI might have raided Biden's house for a different reason related to what's on Hunter Biden's laptop. And then when they did so, they would have found those documents. So it's better to instead have Joe Biden just look like he's cooperating now. And as you said, the timing is pretty weird because, you know, back in November, they find these documents. But so why did they wait 3 months to look at Biden's house and search his residences?
Well, if it's all because of a FBI investigation into the laptop, why is this investigation going on at the end of 2022 when the FBI had the Hunter Biden laptop and knew that all of that information was real? And they had it going into 2019 and held it and didn't do anything, didn't do any investigations, didn't actually arrest Joe Biden or Hunter Biden. And they actually sent out people to the press to say that it was all had the underpinnings of a Russian propaganda. But the FBI had all of this information and they knew it was there. Why are they just now doing the investigation? Why didn't they do it back in 2019 when they got the laptop?
They probably figure that since this is such a controversial issue, the Republicans in Congress might do exercise some oversight over them, cut some of their funding. Maybe that's lit a fire under their butts.
From your lips to God's ears. I'll believe it when I see it.
So what do you make of the Republican effort then, their talk of having some new committee? Is this just going to be a repeat of the Benghazi committees and IRS committees that ultimately didn't do anything, all just for show? Or do you think something real will happen this time now that some of the FBI's scrutiny has actually been turned against them?
Well, you also remember that the Republicans were in control for the first 2 years of the Trump administration while the Mueller investigation was going on, while James Comey was leaking information to the press, and he was the head of the FBI, while Peter Strzok and all of the top brass at the FBI were doing everything they could to bring down the Trump administration. Where was the Republicans back then? The only thing that I have something to be hopeful about is that the people who were pushing the hardest during those investigations, Jim Jordan and Matt Gaetz, they are going to be the ones in charge of these investigations. And I believe the reason why Jim Jordan, this is my hope anyways, is the reason why Jim Jordan was so passionately supporting McCarthy in this whole fight was because he got a commitment that he would be allowed to have any subpoenas approved to go wherever the evidence took him to be able to do a full investigation of what happened with the FBI and the CIA and the NSA in their efforts to undermine candidate Trump and then the presidency of President Trump. What happened was criminal, and people need to be held accountable for it.
Right. Former State Senator Ted Harvey, appreciate you being on the Silk Road Joe Show today. And listeners, again, he is chairman of the Committee to Defeat the President at StopJoe.com. I'm certain we'll be hearing more about this if Biden runs for re-election. And we have more Silk Road Joe Show after this break.
At Cisco, we've come up with the first ever list of cybersecurity resolutions. We all make resolutions to be healthier, be happier. What Cisco's encouraging is that we make a resolution to be a little bit more secure. I'll give you three that you can consider. One, I resolve to protect my accounts. Longer passwords, stronger passwords. No one likes it. I know. So consider using a password manager. Most important, look for things like a multi-factor. So if an adversary does get in, we can click a button and we can stop them. I resolve to protect my toys and technology. I just got a new gift. Before I plug it in the internet, let me pull down the updates. And then What about our phones, our tablets, our devices? What about things we don't think about, like internet-enabled appliances, our home internet router? Make a habit of checking those regularly, just like we check the fire alarm for any updates. Finally, I resolve to protect my privacy.
For parents looking for a fun new read to enjoy with their children, a hilarious picture book called Got Your Nose is now available in stores from New York Times bestselling author Alan Katz and Unicorns Are the Worst creator Alex Willen. The book imagines what happens when a good-natured game of Got Your Nose goes too far. Becky loves when Grandpa Max comes to visit, but this time when he pulls his favorite prank on Becky, he accidentally takes her nose for real. Now Becky and Grandpa Max have to chase Becky's nose as it scurries throughout town, or else who knows what will happen. Acclaimed children's book author Alan Katz, also a six-time Emmy-nominated writer for many children's TV series, tells us more.
This is a sweet, funny, and fast-paced story with vibrant, colorful illustrations that I hope will leave kids smiling and help adults realize that you're never too old for silly fun.
Got Your Nose is now available wherever books are sold.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show.
If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably?
It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
And Brian, you said, you told our producer that there is a danger in over-criminalizing mishandling of classified information. Explain that.
Yeah, because of the criminal statutes that are out there that are old and quite vague, almost any mishandling case could potentially be shoehorned into a criminal investigation. But going back to my prior point, because this type of mishandling happens all the time, and now it's become such a political football with all three last presidential candidates being investigated, I do worry about while we need to take this all seriously and it needs to be investigated, I do worry about over-criminalizing it, things that should ultimately be security violations sometimes. Those should be handled typically by, if you're a federal government employee, being disciplined or fired. But launching these full investigations that become political footballs is dangerous because it can disincentivize people from serving in the federal government.
Well, what's the problem with that? All right, welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. That was from CNN Newsroom with Victor Blackwell as the host. He was the first person that you heard talking in that clip, and that was from January 10th, earlier this week. And he was talking with Brian Greer, former CIA lawyer, about Brian Greer saying that over-criminalizing the mishandling of classified information was getting way out of hand. And then you heard Brian Greer talking about how, oh, well, it's a political football now that Joe Biden is being accused of it. Now, Brian Greer was brought on by CNN a few months ago when the story broke about Trump allegedly mishandling classified information, and Greer was very critical of Trump and very much in favor of the outcome there. However, when it came to Joe Biden, suddenly we're hearing, oh, this is actually going on way too much. And that's been the story across the whole media. They have been desperately trying to tell you why what happened with Trump is way different than what happened with Joe Biden. And there is actually quite a difference, but it's not in the way the media thinks. It's because Joe Biden did way worse than what Trump did. Trump actually had his information, as you heard earlier on the show, in a secure location, in a secure vault. And I can tell you, those things are pretty strong, pretty hard to break through. They're much stronger than certain gun vaults that I've seen, and I've seen those gun vaults withstand tank fire without opening. So this is, meanwhile, Joe Biden, he's got his stuff sitting in his garage in a box next to his car. Okay, so like, as I said before, one of the first places people break into a house is possibly through the garage because there's not going to be anyone out there. And it's generally kind of easier to get in that way, especially at my house. So Joe Biden, also, you heard the clip in an earlier segment. He's out there criticizing Trump. Oh, how dare you mishandle classified information? This is inexcusable. Meanwhile, Joe Biden has it sitting in boxes in his garage and has had it for 4 years. Not only that, but and he moved a couple of times. I don't know if it was with this batch of classified info or if it was with the previous one at the think tank office, but he has actually moved those documents around as he moved from one location to another. And he claims that he doesn't know that he had them. I can believe that, actually. Joe Biden, you know, he shakes hands with the air, talks about dead people like they're there in the room with him. He seems to not be able to make his way through a sentence without getting lost. He can't even make his way to the White House without getting lost, as we've seen in some video footage. And also mistook someone from the Salvation Army as a member of the Secret Service, which can be very life-threatening depending on the situation that happens in next time if he's in any danger and decides that this nice-looking man with the gun who's shooting at him must be Secret Service rather than the assassin. Lord knows, John Hinckley Jr. probably could have gotten away with offing Biden, because Biden would have thought the guy was Secret Service, apparently, from what we've been able to see in the videos. And how this is not a giant red flag, I don't know. Anyway, so because of all that, and just Biden's horrible mental health, and I can really figure that maybe he actually does not know that those are classified documents sitting in boxes in his garage. In fact, he might not even know it's his garage half the time, which is just sad that he's being propped up. So this then falls on his underlings, and that's where the problem comes in, because the Attorney General Merrick Garland, he set up a special counsel to investigate this. Well, very likely, someone in that special counsel, if not the special counsel himself, is the one who was handling these documents for Joe Biden and put them there to begin with. Because, as I said, Joe Biden does not seem to be in a position to make decisions for himself. So that means it's his staff or someone else who's doing it for him, which means that perhaps since we don't know who is making these decisions, it could be someone on that special counsel team or the special counsel themselves. Or the attorney general who appointed the special counsel. Like I said, we have no idea, because this isn't ironic too. This administration claims to be transparent, yet we know nothing about this. They first found classified documents at a think tank funded by the Chinese government back in November, and we didn't hear about that until now. And it wasn't until we heard about it now that the White House counsel office decided to check Biden's house to see if there was any documents. If Biden was so transparent, the White House counsel office would have known that those documents existed and would have started the investigation back in November, not right now. Obviously, they found it urgent enough that the moment that this news broke about the story, they launched an investigation. So if that is the reason, if the urgency of finding these documents somewhere is the reason, then they would have, it's logical that they would have launched the investigation the moment they knew about it. So clearly the White House itself did not know about Joe Biden's documents back in November. They found it out the same way you did, I guess, on the news. How's that go for transparency on Joe Biden's part? And then, of course, you heard the clip. Back in September, Joe Biden's criticizing Trump for doing exactly what Joe Biden has done. In fact, worse, because Joe Biden doesn't have his documents in secure vaults. He just has them sitting in a cardboard box. Maybe if you're a kid, you can imagine that a cardboard box is more secure as a vault. I used to like to play in boxes and pretend stuff like that. Maybe Joe Biden is doing the same thing, and that's why he thinks he's different than Trump. And this also begs the further question, how many more classified documents will we find laying around his properties or his think tanks and offices? What else did he take from the White House? And I will reiterate, he didn't have the authority to do any of this. Not unless Barack Obama said, okay, you can take these, Joe Biden, no problem. Here's the authority to take these classified documents, go ahead. But that doesn't seem to happen because Obama has actually been very quiet during all this. I hadn't heard anything from him about these documents. You'd think that he would have been the first one out there to say, no, it's okay. He had the authority to steal these documents from the White House. I told him he could. And as president, that's rightly so. And that would have made it okay, just as it made it okay for Trump to have the documents, because as president, he is the one who decides if it's classified. So he wants it to not be classified. Boom, it's not classified. Take it home. Apparently, there's supposed to be this declassification process, but as Alan Nathan pointed out earlier this week, just because Trump's underlings didn't carry out the declassification process doesn't mean that the documents aren't declassified. You can't have the laziness of your subordinates countermand the orders that you give, or the willful disobedience of the orders countermand the orders. So if Trump says they're declassified, even if the aides didn't get to it. So that, on that logic, Obama could have come out and said, no, I declassified those documents. It's fine that Joe Biden had all this stuff laying around. Apparently, some of it does include sensitive information, intelligence sources, and all that. That's been one of the things the media have been really putting all their cards on, putting all their eggs in that basket, that the big difference between what Biden did and what Trump did is that Biden's documents weren't really as good, as bad as Trump's were. They weren't really, didn't have as much sensitive information. But we are learning that, nope, they actually do have some very sensitive information. Some agents could have been killed if these documents went into the wrong hands. And certainly with the Chinese government overseeing the office, I'm assuming they're getting something for that money that they donated. They donated $54 million to the think tank that these documents were stored in. So I'm assuming they expected to have access to them or something. The Chinese government doesn't just give $54 million all willy-nilly, not expecting a return on their investment. Absolutely not. That's not how they roll. And that's actually very smart of them not to roll that way. They aren't philanthropists. So clearly they expected something, and these documents were in Biden's office there. So perhaps that is what they had, access to these documents, and who knows what sensitive sources we lost. And it's not like you can believe anyone who's in the Biden administration that comes out and says, oh, these were okay documents to have laying around, even though they were classified. Why would you trust them on that? Of course they're going to lie. They lied about everything else. Why wouldn't they lie about this too? Come on. They lied about the vaccines. They lie about the economy. They lie about natural gas stoves. What else are they going to lie about? Of course they're going to lie about these documents. And they lie about being transparent about these documents. Well, I guess it is very transparent because we have them on film when Biden's showing off his Corvette. You see the boxes full of them sitting in the background. So maybe they do think they're being transparent because they showed them already and no one knew what was in the boxes. But they can say, well, look, we showed them. Everyone knew they were there. It's a horrible excuse, but I don't expect that they won't use it. Anyway, though, so all this stuff really puts some people in danger, and there is a special counsel going into it. But again, can we really trust anyone in there? The way the special counsel's office was stacked against Trump, maybe they similarly stacked it for Biden. Maybe the whole thing is just a team of lawyers that are pro-Biden, Biden donors, all that, have no interest in enforcing the law. And they'll just come out and say, oh, well, we completed the investigation after, I don't know, soaking up a bunch of money and spending it on luxury yachts and junk. And we came to the conclusion that nothing was wrong here. We just got finished with our 1-year vacation or whatever. wouldn't be surprised if all that's what came of the special counsel investigation. And so Joe Biden will get away with mishandling classified information, because that's just what happens when you're a Democrat. Not so much if you're a Republican, though. Double standards in the government, and you can expect nothing less from this attorney general. Remember, this is the one who got the FBI to spy on parents. More Silk or Joe Show after this break.
This report is sponsored by Coca-Cola. Start your new year with real Coke taste and zero sugar. Coke Zero Sugar is now available at participating Burger King restaurants. Coke Zero Sugar will fuel your new year with that great Coke taste. Satisfy your hunger and enjoy Coke Zero Sugar with a piping hot breakfast sandwich, like a sausage, egg, and cheese croissant sandwich. Its sizzling sausage, fluffy egg, and melted American cheese on a toasted croissant makes for a delicious breakfast to start your morning right. And don't forget the crispy hash browns. Or if the flame-grilled Whopper sandwich, BK Royal crispy chicken sandwich, or chicken fries are your fave, you are in luck, because all Burger King menu items pair perfectly with an ice-cold Coke Zero Sugar. It's the perfect no-sugar sparkling beverage that goes great with everything. Coke Zero Sugar is a great way to start 2023. And since you rule, you can enjoy it all year, too, at participating U.S. Burger King restaurants.
Hi there, it's Joe Montana. Life after football has been full of taking my shot at new things. Now I'm working with Pfizer to tell you about pneumococcal pneumonia. Pneumococcal pneumonia should be the last thing standing in your way.
Pneumococcal pneumonia is a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can strike any time of year. It can disrupt your life for weeks, and in severe cases, it can put you in the hospital and even be life-threatening. And Joe knows that vaccination is one of the best ways to help protect himself from pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 65 or older, or 19 or older with certain underlying medical conditions like asthma, COPD, chronic heart disease, or diabetes, talk to your doctor or pharmacist about the risk of pneumococcal pneumonia and whether vaccination is right for you. Understand your risk at knowpneumonia.com. That's KNOWpneumonia.com. This is your shot.
This message is brought to you by Pfizer.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
My baby brother, a father.
Come on, it's time for his nap.
Whoa, he can't sleep on his stomach. Babies should always sleep on their backs in a safety-approved crib, and the sleep area should be clear of blankets, toys, and other loose or soft items. It reduces the risk of SIDS.
SIDS?
You know, sudden infant death syndrome.
Guess I need to start studying up on safe sleep for little man here. Being his favorite uncle comes with big responsibilities.
For more information, visit safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov, sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development. You want to give your baby everything, so start with a safe sleep area. Babies younger than one should always be placed to sleep on their backs on a firm and flat surface like a safety-approved crib. And keep blankets, pillows, and other soft or loose items out of the crib when the baby is in it. Learn more about safe sleep for babies at safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. Sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show.
If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs, and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Thank you for staying with us through this hour of the Silver Joe Show. Going back to this topic of gas stove bans, those things are in 35 to 40% of homes. And the topic, and one of the reasons that they're trying to get rid of them is they say that they cause health problems, but I don't think 35 to 40% of Americans are coming down with the health problems alleged here that these stoves generate. Joining us now to talk about this, we have Andrew Gruhl. He is an American chef and television personality who appeared as a judge on Food Network's Food Truck Face Off and is founder and CEO and executive chef of Slapfish. Andrew Gruhl, happy to have you. How are you today?
Doing well, thanks. And just a quick note here, I actually sold Slapfish a year ago, so I got to mention that I am not part of Slapfish.
Oh, okay. I need to update that bio then. So then, what do you make, though, of as a chef, what do you make of this ban on gas stoves? Because I could have sworn that that is a very powerful tool in the restaurant industry.
Yeah, I mean, it's, the whole thing, they've been pushing this for years. And, you know, when it fails and the public just lashes out at it, they come up with a new study or a new angle. And the new angle now is they're saying that there is a slight chance that gas stoves in homes are connected to an increase in childhood asthma. So I immediately saw this headline because it was blasted all over CNN and all the mainstream networks. And I thought, wow, is there validity to this? So I read the study. It is not a study on children themselves. It is a meta-analysis, which is a compilation of studies. And actually, they cherry-picked data, which was really not rooted in much research. They didn't even test the environments in which the stoves were placed. They actually just put, like, plastic sheeting around the stoves, created a hyper-concentrated density of the output, and then they tested that. And then they drew parallels and conclusions that were so far-fetched that you have to wonder why someone would even create a study like this. So I looked at who created the study, and it was this group called EMI, which is an environmental think tank whose mission and financial incentive is to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by eliminating the use of natural gas and anything with fossil fuels. So this whole thing is just a ploy. It's fake. It's made up. It's the true definition of junk science, and people are listening to it, and they're using it as the basis upon which policy is being set against the American people and subsequently restaurants, chefs, small business owners, independents.
And the irony here, too, is if they really cared about the environment, they'd be encouraging gas stove use, because in my research for it, I found, you know, as far back as 2017, people talking about how great gas stoves were for the environment, how they were one of the most environmentally friendly ways to cook.
Yeah, well, of course. And that we reduced our greenhouse gas emissions in the United States by over 25% over a decade. And guess how we did it? By replacing traditional fossil fuels with natural gas.
A lesson that seems to be lost. Well, apparently, according to actually one of the guests I have earlier on the show, if we do replace all these gas stoves with electric appliances, then ironically, we will be using more natural gas because something like 40% of our power comes from natural gas. So they will be, the natural gas power plants will be producing more electricity to fuel the demand for more electric stoves. So in the end, it doesn't really do anything except ban electric gas stoves and create a massive inconvenience and financial trouble and close down some businesses who can't afford to keep up.
That's 100% correct. And actually, it will resort to coal as well. So the majority of our electricity is driven by natural gas, coal, some nuclear, and a minority of that is renewables. And by minority, I mean like single-digit percentages. So now we're going to take it one step away from the source, thereby requiring more electricity and more fuel to drive it to the source, the energy needed to cook, right? In this case, electric. So you're going to double the natural gas output for half the amount of electric. So you're actually increasing pollution for an end that's going to cost everybody more money.
Yeah, it just seems like I said, they don't really care about the environment at all. They just want to do something and flail about and pretend they're doing being proactive to appease their donors, I suppose. by making gas stoves seem dangerous. And again, like you said, they faked the study to do that. But how will this affect the food industry? I can imagine that consumers will be looking at higher food prices just because more electricity costs as they're using electric stoves instead of gas, but also the cost of replacing the darn things in the first place.
The cost of replacing, the cost of retrofitting, or if it's kind of future, if it's in the future, you're going to have to pay more money for technology that's less efficient, because right now, induction and electric commercial kitchen cooking equipment is more expensive overall on an output basis. So double the cost of going into business, which, you know, some might suggest that this is only going to help the big guys, because as many barriers of entry are set up, they're typically done so in order to benefit the bigger, larger corporations to push out the small guys. And that seems to be the case here. You mentioned that this was only going to benefit the donors. You know, I would suggest that this is going to benefit their donors, going to benefit a lot of the electric companies and those people who are pushing renewables. But also, this is about control. You know, I can turn my gas stove on and off. Now, I can go out and utilize gas sources in order to cook, and I can be off the grid. In this case, it all goes back to the grid and who controls the grid.
Yeah, it's a good point to make, because, you know, they shut off your electricity. Well, you can always go to natural gas. Well, even if you have a power outage in your area, you can go to natural gas to at least work your stove and cook your food instead of having to eat raw food or having a gasoline generator on standby. But then if they cut you off from that natural gas, well, now you're on their electric grid. And they also have the electric grid also has those some of the electric companies. They have those little smart devices where they can shut off your power remotely if they care to.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Exactly. And that's when I look at this and I say, this is just so insane. It makes no sense. It's not helping the environment. It's costing us more money. It's less efficient, right? It's checking all these boxes of why we shouldn't do it. And I'm trying to understand the why we should do it. Right now, you know, I'm you know, banging the drum, and I won't stop talking about this across all social platforms. And the only complaint I get are people coming after me saying, oh, you don't care about your kids. You want to give your kids asthma to own the libs. And I said, first of all, this isn't even a political debate, if you think about it. I'm here saying I'm an environmentalist. I mean, all my restaurants are based on the notion of sustainability, people, planet, profit. I want to use renewables. They're just not available, you know. And number one. And number two, the only argument is quoting this study that's, as I mentioned at the beginning of this conversation, it's junk. I mean, it is literally made up data.
Yeah, it's terrible that you're one of the few who are giving pushback on that note. You'd think journalists would have investigated this, found it was made up data, and then asked the Product Safety Commission, why are you using made up data for this? Anyway, Andrew Gruhl, American chef and television personality, I appreciate you being on the Silk or Joe Show. Listeners, that music means that we are out of time, but I appreciate you tuning in. MainStreetRadioNetwork.com is our website, and you can find us on Getter, GETTR.com, at Silk or Joe Show. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.